There are some today, and I guess they have done it for millennia, who would teach that the Christian life is one of consistent joy, pure peace, love, riches, and goodness. They picture the rose without the thorns. They share the glory minus the cross. Unfortunately, trials and difficulties and hard times are part and parcel of our experience in this world. We know this just in life in general. If you've lived very long, you've skinned your knee on one or more bumps along the road. I used to tell my kids, please don't grow up. I'm begging you, please stay little. Please don't grow up, because life is hard. And life can get very hard sometimes. I don't know where you're at right now, but someone has said that we are at one of three places in life. We are either coming out of the trial, or we are in the midst of the trial, or we are just entering into a trial. And sometimes it seems that that is indeed so. But even beyond life experience, we have the testimony that life can be difficult, and there are times we just have to endure. Beyond life experience, we find it a biblical reality. One of the places that speaks of this is the well-known thorn in Paul's flesh. So if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because here Paul gives a testimony, not with regard to his salvation, but a testimony in terms of this trial, this thorn in his flesh, and how he was able to get through a very difficult time in his life. It is a testimony of God's faithfulness. It is a testimony of God's grace. It is a testimony of God's assurance to us in the midst of trial. So let me read to you Paul's testimony of God's faithfulness in the midst of trial. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul writes, "Boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell you about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up into the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. But yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up into paradise, and I heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger sent from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take this thorn away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, Paul is writing a first-person testimony, not of his salvation, but of a very significant time in his life that brought great spiritual value to himself and to others. We can study Paul's testimony, his account of this trial in his life, in this outline. First of all, to look at the suffering that we face. Secondly, the struggle that we fight. And then thirdly, the sovereign plan that God follows. But first of all, the suffering. Paul said that this thorn that he received tormented him. Therein is a strong Greek term. And there's no better way to define it other than to simply say torment. It hurts. It causes a measure of misery in our lives. Problems, trials, thorns do have the power to truly hurt us. And it's wrong for believers to go about trying to keep smiling when inside you're crumbling. Paul learned that it is in my weakness that I rejoice. Someone wrote a book called Behind Those Sunday Smiles, indicating that as a church, the Church of Jesus Christ, that we have gained a reputation. That's proof that God's here. You see that? Not really. We've gained a reputation that we have to smile and bear it, that we can't let others know what we're going through, that we can't look weak, hurting, and defeated. Well, we can go on fooling ourselves if we want, but the truth is, biblical truth is that trials and thorns in the flesh have the ability to hurt us, to torment us. Augustine, the early Christian father, once said that God had only one son without sin, but he has no sons without suffering. No servant is greater than his master. And trials come. We have confirmation of this all through the scripture. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul is encouraging us that though we suffer in trials now, they're not even to be compared with the glory that is coming. And brother, I'm telling you, I can't wait. I'm telling you, the longer I live, the more I can't wait. I can't wait until the Lord comes or calls me home. I can't wait. The sufferings of this present day cannot even be compared to the glory that will one day be ours. 2 Corinthians 1:7. Our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also will you be partakers of the consolation. Paul is saying that indeed the Lord will come alongside and comfort us and strengthen us. But he strengthens us because we need it, because we are enduring suffering. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. You can't get around it. It is on almost every page of the text. Suffering is a part of the deal. 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And we could go on and on and on, because the reality is, it is an inescapable fact. Suffering comes. Trials are part and parcel of our existence. And to try to gloss over them and parade a proud smile is hypocrisy. There are times we hurt. We'll get through them. Absolutely. There are times our soul will be in unrest. Peace will come, but it's wrong to deny the reality, the truth. And yet, when trials do come our way, we stand there in unbelief and say things like, those are things that happen to other people, not to me. Those are the things that happen to other families and not to mine. But it does. Children reject the faith of their family. It happens. Good, strong Christian homes break apart. It happens. Financial tumult comes. It happens. Health factors, legal problems, threats against us at all, at every level and in every form come against us. And yet, we're shocked when it knocks on our door. And we wonder why. Did I sin worse than the guy next door? Is that why it stopped on my porch? Did I do something worse than anybody else on my block? Is that why pain and trouble came to my house? Well, let's ask Paul. Paul, why did this thorn in the flesh come to you? Paul, why are you suffering this kind of pain where you are tormented, a tearing of the flesh, by this thorn? Paul, what did you do? Well, God gave me such great revelation. God opened heaven up to me in such a way that He didn't want me to get proud. And so to keep me from a godless pride, I received this thorn. You mean you didn't sin worse than your neighbor? No, I wouldn't anything like that. You mean they didn't spotlight you because they saw a black hole in your heart? It wasn't that. God wanted to keep me holy and pure and righteous without pride. And so I walked through days of trial. Trial came. You know, I love to see God work miraculously and instantaneously, and I've seen Him do it on more times than I can remember. Supernatural, instantaneous touches of God's grace, healings, blessings, a release of a restless soul and peace come in. I've seen it many times. But is that really the priority of God for us? When we're sick, is it really God's priority to heal us? When we're in financial straits, is it really God's priority to fill our bank account? When our son or daughter has gone astray, is it really God's priority to help our heart not hurt? Well, the truth is, God's priority for you and me is to conform us into the image of His Son. That's His priority. That's what He is about doing in your life and in mine. There are times pain is released. There are times when peace instantaneously comes. There are times when health is instantaneously restored, and we bless the Lord and praise God for each time that these things happen. But His major point and will for your life and mine is to use all of life circumstances and all God has at His disposal to rub off the sharp edges, to sand down the flesh, and to conform us into the image of His Son, whereby we become a settled, surrendered vessel through which love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control is being released and being birthed. That is the life. That is the priority of God for you and for me. If we get blessed in other ways, that's just abundant grace. But know that's what He's after in your life. We're told that Paul prayed three times. Some have said that three is the complete or perfect number, that Paul probably prayed many, many, many times, and he well may have. That might be symbolism, could certainly be. But if we take it literally, Paul says, I prayed three times. He said, I begged God. And that's the idea of the text. I got on my knees and I cried out, God, please, please take this thorn from me. And each time God said, I'm not going to. My grace will be sufficient for you. But it was only after, now listen, it was only after the third time that Paul really heard what God was saying. Now, what was the problem? Did God speak louder the third time? Did he speak using flowery language so that Paul could envision what he was saying? We know that that didn't happen. But what did happen? What was significant about that third time? Well, it wasn't in what God said or how God said it. It was in Paul and his receptibility of the message of God. Paul finally heard God say, Paul, I'm going to take care of this for you, but I'm going to take care of this by taking care of you. And you're going to get through this by my strength. You're going to get through this by allowing me to fill you and to lead you. It was Paul's heart that made the difference on that third time. It was his spiritual receptibility to say, oh, okay, God, I get it. And when he got it, brother, he got it. Didn't he? I mean, there is such a change in tenor and change in mood in the text between the time when Paul is describing the thorn and when God spoke to him and he got it. Because he bursts into, therefore I will glory in my weakness. I will take glory in my infirmities and all things that demonstrate how weak I am, because in my weakness, God is made strong. Paul finally came to the point where his heart was surrendered enough to hear the truth of God. And when he heard it, peace filled his heart. Now, folks, this is key in the process of trial. If we were to study the entity known as trial, we would see that there's a definite beginning stage, middle stage, and hopefully an ending stage. But key in the process, please hear me, is when that transition takes place from heaviness to peace. From hurting to joy. From burden to unburdened. A transition occurs. When we release that which, that thorn that is holding us back, that is taking us down, that is dragging us and humiliating us and defeating us and scaring us, when we release unto the care of God that thorn, my time is gone. Let me close with this story. A wise man from the northern frontier of China once had a horse stolen from him. And the people came around him and tried to console him and said, we're sorry that your horse was taken or ran away. And the man said, what makes you think that this isn't a good thing? A little while later, the horse returned with a wild stallion by our side. The wild stallion came galloping up with the horse to the wise man's pen. The community gathered around him and said, "What a wonderful thing that has happened to you, that your horse ran away and brought back this wild stallion." He then asked, "What makes you think this is a good thing?" A little while later, the wise man's son was riding the wild stallion, and the wild stallion threw him off, and he fell and broke his hip and couldn't walk. And again, the community came around and said, "We're so sorry to hear about your son and that crazy wild stallion that threw him off and hurt him." And the wise man said, "What makes you think this is a bad thing?" A little while later, a Mongoloid group from the north came and invaded the wise man's clan. Every able-bodied man jumped on his horse and took off for the fight. The community lost 9 out of 10 of their young men, but the wise man's son couldn't go because his hip was broken and he couldn't walk. Again, the point. We don't know what this means today. There are things that I have gone through that I never want to go through again, but I am so grateful I went through. We had a house fire. We lost everything. We got out with socks and shorts and underwear and a t-shirt, and that was it. But God did such incredible things in my life and in my church through that experience. But you know, I don't want to repeat it. We don't know what tomorrow's going to say about today. And even more so, we don't know how God is going to work all things together in your life to produce a holy good. So whatever it is that you're facing right now, it's going to hurt. It may hurt. And it may hurt badly, torment you. But there is a process in that trial. And in that process is a point where as you cry out to God to take this from you, you will come to a point of surrender where God will be able to speak into your life. And in that moment, that transition will occur from heavy-heartedness to light-heartedness and peace.